make him laugh. Bet you all tired of hearing the constant blather. In the end, you just wanna know that laughing matters. From entrepreneurs to Fortune 500, humor makes the world go round. You didn't know? It's a fit for a pro, like a roll with spaghetti, to keep your culture light when times are heavy. So sit back and relax as we raise the bar, when it all comes down to the ha ha ha. Yeah, make him laugh, huh? You make him laugh.
Welcome to Laughing Matters, the only podcast you'll hear that explores the power of humor and laughter in a world that sorely lacks both. I am your co-host, as always, Paul Merchan, Senior Vice President at Peppercom, and I'm joined, as always, by the refreshingly honest Steve Cody, CEO of Peppercom. Good morning, Steve.
Morning, Paul. I'm actually a rising senior at the College of Charleston, so you misidentified me, but it's always a pleasure to co-host with you, and greetings from frosty Manhattan.
Greetings to you as well, and thanks for the College of Charleston reference. And as we know, college basketball is live right now, March Madness. I have to ask you, Steve, who is your pick for taking it all this year?
They're not my favorite team, but Houston looks unbeatable.
Wow. Going with Texas. I like it.
Yeah. How about you?
I like it. Well, my wife goes to NC State, so I have to root for them, even though they probably won't win. But
yeah,
let's go Wolfpack.
Wolfpack.
But speaking of Pack. We have part of our pack, actually, part of our family, who's joining us today. We're excited to have with us the leader of one of our sister agencies. She's the founder and president of Comunicad, a Reuter Finn company, and she's widely regarded as a pioneer in public relations, having been at the forefront of the multicultural communications evolution throughout the United States, Latin America, and Europe. Today, she continues to be an advocate for the Latino community, serving on the board of Centro Fox, the first presidential library in Latin America, as an advisory board member of the Latin Grammy Cultural Foundation, and on the board of Fundación Puertas Abiertas, a Panamanian U.S. foundation dedicated to providing Latino students with scholarships for higher education and fostering social impact programs for communities. We're very pleased to welcome to the Laughing Matters podcast, Gloria Rodriguez. Hello, Gloria.
Hi, how are you? Nice
Good,
to be
thank
here.
You. It's great to have you on. Thanks so much for joining us. And some great credentials there in your introduction and your bio. I would love to start here by asking a little bit about that career trajectory that we just mentioned. So you started your career back in what was then known as Metro Media News, which is now Fox Broadcasting Network. And this was in 1979. I can't imagine the challenge for a woman, especially a Latina, breaking into the industry back then. What was the culture like at Metro Media back then, and how did you use humor to get through those difficult times?
Well, the culture at Metro Media, as you can well imagine, was not the greatest thing this side of paradise, right? however, I was very lucky, you know, as I had been in certain aspects of my career. I had an excellent, the person, the producer of the 10 o'clock news show, which is where I was, where I started work as an associate producer, was a woman. And the head of the news division, it was a person who had been jailed, a journalist who had been jailed because he would not give up his sources when he was in Vietnam. So I had two very progressive bosses, if you will, who really brought me in because I was Latina, because they had no Latinos, they had no minorities actually in the newsroom, and they wanted to be able to start heralding multiculturalism.
Yeah.
Sometimes I would hand in all my written work and so forth and so on, and one of the reporters or whatever would come and say, "Huh, this person doesn't speak correct English, you know, what is this?" And then I would have to fight back and say, "Wait a minute, let's analyze this." And then I spent a lot of time needlessly, right, having to defend use of language or whatever. And sometimes I would interject with some Spanish words just to be able to open up the conversation on multiculturalism.
And I think that's very important because oftentimes when you live in your own bubble, right, you're not understanding what other cultures are, sound like, and do. And so I think it's great that even faced with such a difficult situation where you're being questioned for your English language skills, and you're able to approach that with such grace and such dignity in that way, and still laugh about it in a way. I mean, that's really remarkable, Gloria.
Well, they couldn't believe that a Latina could speak English or write it. This was the big thing. As well as I did, right? And no matter how much I talked myself blue in the face as to my education and so forth and so on, it was no. You know, you're Latina and you're Puerto Rican, for crying out loud, you know? So that's even worse.
I'm still challenged in terms of speaking and writing in English. So that's one. That's not something that you struggle with. But what you and I do share is that we both founded our own public relations firms. Obviously, yours truly with Peppercom and you with Communicad. It's often a long, lonely road as an entrepreneur with peaks and valleys. God knows I've seen both. I'm sure you have as well. Can you share any moments from the first couple of years that were out of the ordinary or extraordinary?
And one of the things that I was particularly bent on was, yes, I the business was within my profession, which was media, communications, and marketing, but I also had an added side to that, that whatever it was that I did in the business, I also needed to help my community. There was one particular organization in New York. They had lost all of this money. The federal government had taken away all this money that they were using for job training programs for Latinos, particularly Puerto Ricans in New York City. So I was asked by the president of that organization, he said, well, you want to be able to do this. So he challenged me. He said, well, we lost all this money. Get it back for us. And I said, okay. And first of all, I didn't know anything at that time about the JTPA. I didn't know it, but I went and researched, you know, the way we go. And we go in and do our homework and so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. And I got to the Secretary of Labor at the time, and he says to me, well, if you can convince the president that this is something that we should do, then, you know, we'll give the money back to the community. And I said, yeah, sure, me all along, convince the president of the United States, right? Okay, we can do this. Little did he know that I had a contact in the White House because of my news background, okay? So I called my contact and I said to my contact, I need to meet with the president of the United States. And he says to me, yeah, you and a million other people, what line do you want to stand in, right? And I said, well, I'm not going to stand in any line. I've got to meet with him in the next 2 weeks because I need to get him to call the Secretary of Labor and tell them, you know, and approve this these discretionary funds for New York. So he got me the appointment with the president. The president was going to be attending. I was lucky. The president was going to be attending a major or Latino organization's business meeting in Florida. So he had a 5-minute walk from the moment that he left his car to the door, which would then open, and he would start meeting with the board members of this organization. So this friend of mine, this contact, got me the 5-minute walk. In other words, I had 5 minutes to convince the president that he needed to authorize that these monies be put back into New York government's funds. So I did it. I prepared like we do, Steve, as you know, we prepare thoroughly. I prepared all my packets. I prepared 5. I said this was before the computers. We could do it all, you know, we send it by email or whatever. So I prepared all these packets and I got in there and I handed them to the Secret Service man who was walking behind the president. And I said, here, give this to the president on the plane. He can't carry it now. He'll lose them. And I spoke with the president for 5 minutes on why it was necessary. As you all know, 5 minutes, you have to be very succinct and to the point. You don't have time. And when we got to the door that he was going to meet with the board of this organization, he says to me, well, aren't you coming in? And I said, no, I'm not invited to that. I'm just here to meet with you. So thank you very much, Mr. President. And I hope to hear from you on Monday. This is a Saturday.
Wow.
And he looked at me and he says, and why? And tell me one thing before you take off. And I said, what is that? He said, and why haven't we hired you? In other words, what? So anyway, that you should know that the client got the monies. Not only did they get the monies for that year, but they got monies for the next 5 years and quite a substantial amount of dollars. And we were all very happy, and the Puerto Rican community in New York was able to continue with his job training. So anyway, that was, you know, to your point.
Are you at liberty to name names as to which president?
Yes.
I can tell you it was President Reagan. It was the last year of President Reagan's.
Nice. What a wonderful story, Gloria. Thank you. And there's not many of us who can say we got 5 minutes for the president and he basically gave us a job offer. So
exactly. That's right. And at the end, I got a job offer.
That's right. Yeah. Not many of us can say that, Gloria. Well, that's wonderful. I wanted to ask you, so on our Laughing Matters podcast, we've interviewed dozens of guests on how they interpret humor. But I think it's safe to say that humor in the Latino community is much, much different than in mainstream US. And even within the Latino community itself, right? Boricua humor, like, you know, Boricua being Puerto Rican, like you are, Gloria, different from other humor from South America, where my family comes from Mexico, Central America. There's so much difference. And I wanted to ask you, what are some of those differences primarily between Latino humor and humor in mainstream US? And how do you bridge the gap between what the Latino culture finds humorous and what mainstream culture in the US finds humorous?
Spanish words may have a different connotation in Puerto Rico than they do in Argentina, for instance. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have to be cognizant of those differences in the use of some Spanish words when we're dealing with the different Latin American cultures, okay? And we have to be the same in Latin America as it would be in the U.S. because you have the same, you know, you have Argentinians, you have Peruvians, you have Puerto Ricans, you know, Cubans, whatever. And the words all may mean maybe slightly different. That's why you have to be the cultural idiosyncrasies of our language are incredible. So that's why when you're either translating or you're preparing speeches for someone, you really have to be aware of all of that. Latinos often use wordplay a lot, mm-hmm. and they use puns, double mm-hmm. entendres. You know, they're talking mm-hmm. to you, and it's a double meaning basically that they're going after. And they use a lot of slang to create mm-hmm. humor. Latino humor can also be more expressive and emotive. You know, we're loud people, mm-hmm. we're very mm-hmm. loud people, and we incorporate gestures, facial expressions, and tone of voice to convey humor. We speak with our hands, you know, mm-hmm. our hands tell a story. That humor in the Latino community often reflects shared experiences, struggles, and triumphs, creating a sense of belonging, you know, amongst ourselves and solidarity among members. That's what unites us, in other words. Yeah. And basically, to bridge the gap between all of these humor styles, it's important to approach humor in our community with a very open mind. Mm-hmm. Respect, and this is really important, and I've always said this, I always talk about this, mm-hmm. respect for cultural differences and a willingness mm-hmm. to learn
yes.
and appreciate those diverse perspectives.
So in terms of listening to the audience and breaking through, You've obviously had experience with countless brands creating multicultural campaign. Can you share with our listening audience, which I have to admit is only four, Paul's children. can you share with our four listeners, what's your favorite campaign that you think really harnessed the power of humor or laughter?
I particularly, you know, in the last few years, after Hurricane Maria, in Puerto Rico, I was really anxious to get to Puerto Rico. And I had clients. One of my clients in particular called me immediately after the hurricane and asked me, what is it we can do? All of them asked the question, but this one in particular said, what is it we can do? How can we help? the island? How can we help the people? You tell us and we'll do it. And we did. We came up with some programs that would take us to the southern part of the island, which is where it was hit, you know, very, very hard.
Yeah.
And homes were shattered and so forth and so on. So I take this group of clients from this company, and we go and we're ready. We did partnerships with like the American Red Cross, you know, with all the sort of social agencies that were helping Puerto Rico. And, you know, we took in like stoves and everything that was needed in a place where there was no electricity. It was hard to get on the roads, the trees had fallen, you know, all this sort of thing. So anyway, we go and we have these trucks that we are driving to the other part of the island from the north. And they all, of course, you know, we're all in our little global, in our little world in San Juan, and they say, we're hungry. And of course, I knew that on the other side of the island, we weren't going to be accessing a lot of food. I mean, you know, snacks and so forth. But so I said, okay, fine, let's have a big breakfast. So we go and we have a huge breakfast. And all of these clients, you know, are enjoying their huge Puerto Rican breakfast. And then they say, okay, we want to take sandwiches with us because we know we're not going to have. Okay, so we got the sandwiches, put them in the truck, we go off, and we're on the southern part of the island. And we're helping, and we're all over the place, and we have all these social service organizations that are working with us, and we're making food for people and so forth, and food for people to take home and whatever. So all of a sudden, and you'll appreciate this as I explain one of the ways we use humor at Comunicad, I see all these dogs. They have all of these dogs in the area that we're in. And I had all of these sandwiches in my car, in my truck, because, of course, we had bought all these sandwiches. So I take the sandwiches and I go to feed the dogs. I take into the dogs. All of a sudden, I have the heads of the, you know, of the corporation and so forth saying, hey, I'm hungry. Where's the sandwich? You know, we didn't eat anything there because we wanted to leave the food for everybody. So on the way back, let's eat the sandwiches. And one of the persons in the truck says, what sandwiches? And they immediately said, well, the sandwiches we buy. Well, ask Gloria what she did with them. I saw that she was gathered with all the dogs of the neighborhood. She was sitting on the concrete feeding all the dogs our sandwiches. Okay, so we help the dogs as well. We help the animal kingdom. And as a result of that, I want you to know that the National Humane Society then went into Puerto Rico to help the animals.
Wow.
And this was provoked by my client. My client wrote to the National Humane Society and actually sent them pictures of the plight of animals in Puerto Rico after the hurricane. And they got really involved. So we then picked up another client.
Wow, that's incredible. And the fact that they weren't upset that you gave their food away. I mean, I know, Steve, if somebody takes their lunch, you'd have an issue with that. But
I bite like a pit bull.
That's right. Well, that's wonderful, Gloria. Thank you for sharing that amazing story. I wanted to see if you could share one more story with us before we end. If there's any incident that occurred in your personal life, in your past, that was embarrassing to you or cringeworthy at the time, but now a lot of time has passed and you can laugh about it. Is there anything like that that you could tell us?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Years ago, and I think we've all had that, right, Steve?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Years ago, I should mention that I was brought up in Catholic schools, you know, run by nuns and priests and so forth and so on. So yeah, anyway...
Another thing in common with Steve.
Another thing you got. You see, that's why humor has to be a part of our lives, Steve.
Oh, you got that right, Gloria. You got that right.
So I start getting these calls, and this was at the beginning of the company. I start getting these calls from a priest, and that he wants to talk to me. And I kept saying to myself, I didn't answer the calls, by the way. Because what is a priest hunting me down? I mean, it was enough that I had to grow up. And I wrote back. And now I have to do, no. So I never answered the calls. Well, unbeknownst to me, this priest was opening the first, what has become known as the first authentic Spanish restaurant in the nation's capital in Washington, D.C. And he had asked for a recommendation of a communication specialist who would be able to do things differently for this opening, right? And so I was referred to him. And that's why he kept calling me. But of course, I just kept hearing Padre, you know, Padre, and I went, oh, forget this sort of thing. So anyway, I was giving a speech. I had been invited to give a speech. I was at the National Press Club, and I was giving this speech, and I'm standing there. And as I look into the audience right in that front row, I see a priest, you know, with his collar, right? That's where I recognized immediately it was a priest. And I went, oh, my God, that must be the priest that has been after me.
Tracked you down.
Yeah. And when I walked off the stage, there was a priest at the end of the steps. He says, you're an awfully hard woman to reach. I've called you about 100 times, and you have not answered any of my calls. And so, yes, I was very embarrassed, but have made up for it through the years. We did work with them at the time. They were clients, and then they became friends. And, you know, this is 30 years later, we're friends, and I have just started a foundation for them.
To help
immigrants, because there's so many immigrants in the industry, well, throughout the U.S., but in Washington, D.C., to help immigrants, and also for the whole thing of food insufficiency, which is very high in Washington, D.C.
Right. That's amazing, Gloria. It seems like every story you've told, there's always been like some sort of like a philanthropic ending to it. So that's crazy that it's always ended that way, right?
Well, I also think it's a best practice for playing hard to get, Gloria.
That's true. And lesson learned, Steve, is if your priest calls you, you pick up the phone, right?
And or any new business prospect. I'm just not going to return the call anymore.
That's right. I just don't want to answer that. What's a priest doing calling me?
Right.
I'm not ready. I'm not ready for heaven yet. So let it go.
Final question, and it's a quick one, Gloria. If you were to list three benefits you think an organization that does embrace humor like yours and ours, what do you think are the three greatest benefits, culturally, otherwise, you know, for an organization that embraces humor and laughter?
Well, I think that I believe that all organizations need to embrace humor and laughter, first of all, because I believe strongly that it opens up doors for creative ideas. Humor encourages people to share ideas no matter how outside of the box they are, and that they don't feel intimidated by sharing these ideas. It also helps relieve stress and creates a friendly atmosphere among coworkers. I truly believe that humor is like exercise. It kicks off the endorphins, you know, and the feel-good hormone that makes us better as human beings, no? So, and then I also believe in my experience, I have seen that it enhances morale and creates a closer bond with my employees. And if there's an levity and if there's laughter, you know, one of the things we did at Comunicad years ago was as you can tell, I love animals, particularly dogs. I created a chief dog officer position.
And
the chief dog officer was my dog, Napoleon. Wow. And Napoleon would come to the meetings, to the staff meetings. And whenever there was something, you know, tragic going on with one of the staff members or whatever, Napoleon would make his appearance at the office and be with that person, if you will. And that always brought levity and laughter because, you know, he was warm and fuzzy and everything else. And then that created humor, you know, a humorous situation for them. And I found that that worked very well. That goes back, and I have to say, is to my dad, who was my mentor, my biggest mentor in my life was my father. And he always said, you've always have to have, you're like a puppeteer. You have to have something in your hand that you will bring up that won't be you, that won't be seen as your face, right? But it's they're your thoughts and your feelings and everything else that will be projected by somebody or someone else, right? And that's why I believe that, you know, in our case, the chief dog officer became very prominent, and it still is, by the way, Steve. You will need to meet Napoleon. He's still a member of the staff.
My dog's name is the Duke of Wellington, so I don't know how well they get along.
Oh, this is great, Gloria. We so appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. You had some amazing stories that you told us. Thank you so much. On behalf of Steve, we'd like to thank you again for joining the Laughing Matters podcast, Gloria. Have a great rest of your day.
Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure, a real true pleasure. I have-